Mr. Mike Hall, Reel 7. Now, your next posting comes also in March, early March, to a Dakota squadron. Now, tell me about that. Where you go to?
Asking me.
Well, it says here, Hadazari, near Chittagong. Is that it?
Yes. The name...
And it's Transport Command again, is it? 31?
Yes, it was all...
What was the setup with Hadazari?
Hadazari. Do you know, that's gone completely out of my mind. What we did at Chittagong. I remember going into Chittagong. But it was probably just a refresher course on the Wackos.
Now, you've got a bit kerfuffle there, but isn't Wackos, this is the Dakota.
No, it's just Dakota.
Tell me what you were doing. You've done one flight, or one or two flights, with the previous unit, but what about this? What were you doing?
Yes, that's right. It was in March 45, wasn't it? Between March the 11th to the 24th or something like that. It was just supplies.
What do you remember of the flight?
Oh, they were quite good. Quite good. Very, as I say, flying right over these hills and coming down. Mostly we landed with these supplies, and this one bringing back the wounded. But there was one which we did towards a place called Tidim, which was where a lot of the fighting went on. And instead of landing, we had to drop supplies out, push these bundles out for the people below, obviously. It was all around a place called Imphal, where there was a terrific battle with the Japs when they were more or less at the doorway to India. They were a bit more difficult because you had to be very careful. You didn't throw out one of these bales of thing and follow the bale on the way down because we didn't have any safety harness or anything, and you're throwing these out the back door of the aircraft. Not very good. One of the flights, it made me airsick.
Were you actually allowed to fly the aircraft? We did.
Yes, we did. We flew in straight, level flight. But then this chap one day said to me, like, right, you're going to land this one. And, of course, with his guidance, there's not a lot of difference, apart from the fact that you've got engines here which you had to cut back as you approach, whereas in the glider you haven't got... Because if you can reduce your speed to a certain extent by the use of the engines. But I managed it.
Now, so then you go back to Lalagat late March... So this is just, short postings all the way around.
Yes, no, we moved a lot. Actually, I've got a list of all the places
I've seen. There seems to be something about moving a lot of gliders before the monsoons arrived.
Yes.
But that doesn't seem to have happened.
No. Well, we didn't fly them. It was a matter of moving them and tying them down, as it were. No, I went to Lalagat, and then the next, this was in March 45, it was decided we would go to an OCTU training school on the other side of India, at a place called Belgaum, which was a permanent camp and OCTU training site. Now, this took quite a long time, by train.
I can remember the journey. Was that because some people really enjoyed Indian train journeys, some people hate them?
Well, it depends how you're travelling. Some of them we were in were really horrible, infested with ants and cockroaches. But no, this went quite well. We weren't. It wasn't only a military train. We had certain carriages, and the populace came on wherever they could, on the roof or on the running board or in the compartments. And we stopped at various stations. One I remember, we stopped and thought we'd go into the little restaurant, not really a restaurant, it was a canteen, to get a cup of tea. And by the time we got our tea in a mug, you never knew when the train was going to leave. And we just came out of this thing with a mug full of tea, and the train started to move off. Well, we haired after it and managed to get on, not on the compartment that we wanted, but we managed to get on the train. Minus tea. That was on. And that wasn't bad. This train was not bad. We managed to stretch out a bit. But it took quite 36 hours or something, I think it was.
You were going to Belgaum, near Bombay?
We were going to Belgaum, yes.
Which is near Bombay?
Yes, it's not too far. It's in eastern, quite near a place called Pune. Everybody's heard of Pune, I think. And that was very good. Because it well-established OCTU training ground.
And what sort of training did you get? How did you do at it?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't do a lot of training because for some reason or other, I came out in. I had quite a few boils on my neck and things. Why, I have no idea. But it was partly infantry training. There was no flying whatsoever.
So, but what do you remember? So, it's basic training, and you fail. Did you fail, or were you withdrawn from the course because of these boils, or what happened?
No. It wasn't a matter of failing. It was just a matter of learning. They did ask us if we would like to take an OCTU course, and take a commission. But I don't think anybody accepted it at that time of the war. They thought, well, we've been in long enough. Let's
so get
why
out. Were they sending you to OCTU then? If it wasn't?
I think it was really to give us something to do. But it was very nice there because, as I say, it was a well-organised thing. It had a very nice mess. We each lived in permanent little huts with a bearer, as they call them. And our chap, he knew everything by heart. We'd go out in the morning. Well, when you got up, there was your kit already laid out for you by this chap. He knew what you had to wear. And off we would go, do the exercise, whatever it was. And when you came back at night, once again, he knew what it was. There was a hot bath for you. Your evening dress uniform was laid out. Cup of tea. Wonderful chap. Of course, when we withdrew from India, I don't know what all these poor fellas did.
Now, I see now that it was just an infantry course at Belgaum.
Yeah.
It's not near Bombay, that's just something earlier in the thing. It is near Pune, as you say. Now, anything else you remember about that course?
Yes, we had to do one exercise with live ammunition, You had people firing, you had to get from one little place to another, you had to crawl on your belly, and they had special chaps at the sides firing live ammunition over you. So you had to be. That's the only time that ever happened.
What was that like?
Well, you just had to be darn careful not to put your head up too high. Nobody got shot. That was all right. But the meals were very good. You had to eat eat in the mess for two evenings a week. For some reason or other. But we used to go into Belgaum, the cinema, or else into a military club. It was a pleasant
Now, while you were there, you got news of V-Day. Were there any celebrations? Yep. What do you remember of it?
I don't remember much about that, quite honestly. I suppose being so far away, it didn't... it was nice to know, but it didn't affect us at all. Except we did have, shortly afterwards, a gymkhana, if you like to call it that, where everybody met. That was the only celebration. And they had these wonderful Indian Army units, all dressed up in their finery with on horseback and doing, you know, like a pig sticking. And it was just general jollification that day. They look magnificent in their uniforms.
Now, where did you go next to the course?
Then we were taken down, or were supposed to go down, to a place not far from Bombay. Now, that is a bit hazy in my mind as to what we were going to do there. But it turned out that the place we were supposed to go to had got a cholera epidemic. So they shifted us on to Bombay proper. Where, once again, we had quite a pleasant time. Going into Bombay cinema, and there was a very nice... army club.
Now, what,
just for Europeans at this time.
Sure. I thought that was on the way there, rather than the way. In your memoirs, that's on the way to
Bombay.
Well, on the way back, you then said to go to Fettajang. I'm not sure where that is.
Fettajang.
And then you get moved to a hill station. That's where you finished the walk.
Oh yes, I've forgotten about that.
What do you remember?
Yes, Fettajang. That was just an ordinary station where we just whiled away our time. But it was very, extremely hot.
Where is it? Do you know, or do you not remember now?
No, I can't remember.
What was the climate like? How did it affect you?
Well, it affected me. I lost weight. It just fell off me. It was so hot, and you had to sleep with a mosquito net. When you went to bed at night, the whole bed was hot. It really was oppressive. So they decided that they would move us up to this hill station.
And that's called Upper Topa.
And a place called Upper Topa, way up in the Murray Hills. Now that was a station which the army for years and years and years had used as such a station to alleviate the heat down below. And that was good, because we were just really wasting time to be recalled home. And so we did no military training there.
Now, how did you react when the VJ Day came? That's the actual end of the real war for you out there in August.
I don't recall any real celebrations. Obviously, everybody was pleased, and we knew then that we would be systematically returned home, because we all had a demobilisation number, depending on your age and the length of time you'd served. So we just whiled away the time at before. Pardon?
At Upper Toba.
Yes.
So how long did you stay there for?
We stayed there quite a little while, much longer than was originally intended, which was very pleasant.
And then what?
And then...
Did you go back to Fettajang?
We went back to Fettajang. And there... We just waited for your time to come up.
So you were there, nothing's happening really, and... Now, how did you... What about the trip back? In February, you leave Fettergen.
Yes.
What about the journey back to England?
Yep. Well, we got the train back to Bombay. Uneventful, really, apart from one or two stones being thrown at us for some reason or other by the populace that were fed up with everything. And we were taken to the ship in the harbour.
Now, which ship's that?
That's the Union Castle line.
Durban Castle.
Which was a cruise ship, but of course it had been modified, and your sleeping quarters were very cramped, but at least you could sleep. And the journey, well, it was quite interesting in a way, because we came up through the Suez Canal and then through the Mediterranean quite safely. Of course, then, as I say, the war was over by then. Straight up to Liverpool. And then sent down for actual demobilisation station to, I think it was Nottingham, where we were given a suit, you know, a civilian suit.
What was it like? Any good?
It wasn't bad. I wore it for some time afterwards, of course, because I got nothing else. And not much else. Your possessions were pretty limited.
Now, what were you going to do? Do you see what I mean? Because you've been in a long time. And I mean, what were you going to go back as an office boy? You weren't an office boy, though, were you? I mean, you'd grown up. What were you going to do for employment?
Well, I went back to where I left, because it was office work, but it was also a small engineering company. One had to go out on site and take measurements and drawings of structures and things like that.
Were you still an office boy, though? I mean, or have you moved on?
Well, it was a very small firm. And after a while, I was made a director. Not that it meant much, but it was declining. It was run by two old boys, brothers, and their attitude was, "What's good for the father is good enough for me." And you could see the thing going down. Although nominally I was a director, it didn't mean anything. I'd got no control over what happened to the company. So I looked elsewhere and eventually landed up in an entirely different, because, you know, being with steelwork and ironwork and a lot of ornamental ironwork, I then came into the wood.
So what was the firm? What type of firm?
It was a firm that cut veneers in Rickmansworth.
So, I don't know what you call it.
Veneer cutters. We used to have log bars. We used to have chaps who went out to try to buy big trees, living trees, that could be sliced into veneers.
And that was your career?
And that's where I ended up.
Now, what about the effects of the war? Had it any effects on you, good or bad, mentally or physically? You know?
No. No.
So, I'm surprised, because you make reference to 6.5 wasted years, but
it is.
You actually felt.
No, I mean, it happened. What else could you do?
So no mental or physical effects at all, good or bad?
No.
It didn't mature you at all, then?
Well, not that I really noticed, no. No.
Now, did you maintain... Are you a member of the Glider Pilot Regiment Association?
Yes.
What do they offer?
Nostalgia. No, it's very nice to meet these chaps.
What do they organise?
Well, the association is split up into branches across the country. Like there's a London branch, there's a South West branch, there's a East Anglian branch, there's a Midland branch, you know, where the chaps have formed. And we have a central meeting for each year in various parts. Sometimes it says down in Bournemouth. I think the next one that will be in October is up in York.
And what are the meetings like?
Oh, they're good.
In what way?
Well, meeting chaps you haven't seen for years, and we'll drink together. We don't get boisterous or drunk, and of course the wives come as well. Very nice time. We stay a couple of nights and have a lovely dinner. And it's usually attended by some general or... And it has been... Now, the lady that ran, or her parents did at the time, going back to D-Day, when they landed at Pegasus Bridge, there's a cafe right by that bridge. And the lady that now runs it, who's the daughter of the original owner, she would come over as a honoured guest, because she'd do anything for a glider pilot. Well, when I say anything.
Thank you very much.
Yes.